So I have something real short to share this morning about thankfulness. Please don't tune out. It's going to be very, very important. The word is always important, but I think it'll be very practical for us. So let's ask God to minister further to our hearts. Father, we give you permission to invade our hearts and our thoughts, our minds, at your discretion. We give you full access to every area, even those areas that we are not quite aware of. But you know them. You know every nook and cranny of our hearts, our thoughts, and Lord, we ask that you would fully access all of those areas and mold us and make us more clearly into the person that you desire for us to be as a reflection of you on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Romans 1. Romans 1 is a pretty potent chapter. It's Paul writing to the church in Rome. He is at a place where we all know this one, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. Where I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile or the Greek. Goes on to say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then he begins a diatribe on creating a distinction. He begins to verbalize a clear distinction between those who live by faith and are children of God and those who are either have never enjoined themselves to Christ or who have veered in a direction away from God. Now I don't mean that to be a doctrine, just take it for face value. And this is what he says, beginning in verse 19. He says, because. So, in verse 18, for the anger, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So he's creating the distinction. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So they may know truth, but they hold it, they understand it from the context of a sinful lifestyle that they continue to adhere to, which is a little bit of an anomaly in our minds, right? People who know about God, but they have embraced a perversion of life that does not distinguish themselves from darkness. And so he says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So he's saying, they're without excuse, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's everything around us reveals the clear nature of the Creator. You have to purpose yourself. You have to intentionally deny the miraculous structure of nature in order to embrace a blind belief to something, again, that denies him. But this is then where he begins to lay out his argument. They're without excuse because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So there's a transition here. There's a dividing line. And this is how he draws it. When they knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. Maybe they looked at God as a part of the philosophy of yin and yang, or the force of some, you know, what in today's terms. But they did not glorify him as God, as the one true God. By the way, that was what distinguished Israel from every religious order of its day, and even today, is that they have one God. They glorify God as one God. The Shema of Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And it was the only thing, it was the thing that distinguished them from all the other polytheistic religions of its of that day. And it is a thing that continues to distinguish them from many of the polytheistic religions of the day, of today. So they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. Neither were thankful. And then the transition comes. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they didn't recognize him as God, and they were not thankful. They didn't live an existence of thankfulness to the God that they worshiped. And so they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts became darkened. So what does it mean to be thankful? This is where, please don't tune out. This will influence every area of your life. We know that medically, looking at the person as a whole, we're looked at as a three-part individual: body, mind, and spirit, right? Body, mind, and spirit. So how we think, how we feel, and how we function in very simple terms. So I looked at that word thankful, and it, of course, was pretty eye-opening. It means three particular things. There's three. Greek and Hebrew are very, very, I call them artistic languages. They paint a picture. It's not just, in the English, angry means that's how you feel. It's kind of single dimensional. In the Greek and Hebrew, it's always multidimensional. So in this particular word, eucharistio, it means this: to be thankful, number one. Be thankful. So it's a state of being. It does not depend on your circumstances. It doesn't depend on the future. It doesn't depend on the past. It doesn't depend on the present. It is how you are. You are thankful, period. Be thankful. So your being lives in a state of thankfulness outside of circumstances. Is that how you live? I tell you, that's a struggle. That's a battle. Because culture requires us to behave differently in order to fit in. It requires us to agree with certain segments or groups of folks in order for us to engage, to be looked at as a valuable partner. So being thankful. If you were to step back and look at yourself in the mirror, or step outside of yourself and take that as New Age, just in a way of looking at this, would you look at yourself and say, there's a thankful person? Their whole being is thankful. If not, what needs to change? This is crucial. Romans 1 tells us that. Neither were they thankful. So, you say, yeah, but I worship God as God. But it didn't say they worship God as God and or were not thankful. It makes the two of them one. They neither worship God as God, nor were they thankful. And that led to a vanity and a darkness that is incremental. It doesn't all of a sudden happen like that. It's incremental. Everything is incremental. Number two. This one is even harder, I think. It's to feel thankful. So this word out of Romans 1, neither were they thankful. We're on the second part of it. It says they didn't feel thankful. So, now it's circumstantial. Now it gets down to the nitty-gritty, where your circumstances are tough. So it is, I have a little bit more of a right than anybody else to not feel as thankful as everybody else. Now, to that point, please don't judge your thankfulness by other folks. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I am saying is that you can't do that, particularly in context of whether you're measuring up, whether your thankfulness is at an acceptable level to God by how thankful you are compared to other folks. Because other folks, their level might be, it's different for everybody. But the body of Christ ought to be moving in the direction of being thankful. Our being is thankful, and our feelings are anchored, are constantly attracted to the expression of thankfulness. Some of us attended the funeral of Ralph Snyder. His wife passed away in, I think, her late 40s, mid-40s. It was just very, very, everybody was, of course, very broken by the situation. Ralph was just in a sense of, I think he was in shock for quite some time, even through the funeral, the burial. There's a sense where you're dealing with your emotions. And this might pertain to an aggravating situation, something that makes you angry, something that makes you sad, even happy, even it being exhilarated can remove you from the purity of feeling thankful towards God. Because something happens and you begin to think of it from the context of self-congratulation. Right? A selfish viewpoint. It happens very easily. Instead of, I'm so happy. I'm excited about what happened and what is happening or what's going to happen. But you always set at a place of preeminence your thankfulness to God. So how do you deal with scenarios that are that create a sense of brokenness in you or loss, because those are real emotions, and we're never asked by God to put them, to hide them, to discard them, or to disparage them. He said, "Weep with those who weep." We can find strength as we help, as we try to understand each other and walk together what's happening in life. At the same time, we have the perfect example of Job, who at the beginning, I find this very, very helpful, both at the beginning and at the end of that sandwiched everything that went bad. And that was, talk about bad, that was life-ending, a series of events that most folks would say, what's left? Now, he did express, as he laid there in his open wounds, his sores and boils, he did lay there and he expressed his heart to God. He said, I've got nothing left. I'm ready. You know, take me. You know, he rued the day that he was born. He was upset about it, and God rebuked him for it. But God, let's say, as a father sternly corrected him, if I could put it like that. We think of rebuke as something that's harsh. But God was a father then, as much as he is today. And he very pointedly corrected, very pointedly corrected him. But at the very beginning, right after the string of loss after loss after disaster, Job tore his robe. He put ashes on his head as a sign of mourning. And he knelt down and he worshiped. He didn't blame God. He didn't merely lash out, he worshiped. And he spoke truth. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And he worshiped. He blessed God. So, our feelings must not dictate our expression, our ability to maintain thankfulness towards God. And last of all, giving thanks. So the one is our state of being, the other is our emotions, and now it's taking action. It's our minds, our being, our ability to give thanks. So it's not just internally that we live with a sense of thanksgiving. It's not just our emotions that are able to keep thankfulness preeminent through every circumstance. But it's now that we are able to give thanks, to verbalize, to worship, to express. Again, that's what Job did. And if I just allow me to refer to him one more time for our benefit, that when things are at their worst, when things are at their worst. What do I mean by that? When we're going through a season when everything stands against you. When we're going through a season where the headwinds are constantly at you, financially, relationally, emotionally, practically, at work, whatever it may be, everything is resisting. It's not only maintaining thankfulness inside. It's not only keeping your emotions in check so that they do not usurp your ability to emotionally connect thankfully, emotionally connecting with Thanksgiving. So you can't connect thankfully when you're simply PO'd. Can't. Your emotions are lying to you. That's why this word is so important, to feel thankful. To take a step back, gather yourself together, get your emotions, gather them together, and put them in their place. Okay, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm going through. But none of these emotions will usurp my ability to give, to feel thankful, because God is still God and I worship Him as God. That hasn't changed. It will never change. And then I'm going to allow that to precipitate thanksgiving out of my mouth. Precipitate. Let it rain. It's the clouds expressing what is being held in them. It's our heart expressing from our emotions, expressing what is being held inside. Merely holding on to a feeling of thankfulness is not enough, but expressing it. And when we do this, we release into the atmosphere. I know that sounds rather, but what's atmosphere? It's all around us. When you begin activating this and doing this, the atmosphere will change. It will cause, it will become a causation of how you live outwardly. Even though you may be dealing with some challenges, all around you the atmosphere will shift. And those challenges will be dealt with one by one, but they'll be dealt with from a standpoint of strength, not from a standpoint of weakness. Do you ever deal with challenges from a standpoint of weakness? It becomes a disaster. It's a disaster. It merely adds to the current disaster, whatever it may be. But when you deal with those challenges from a standpoint of strength, being thankful, feeling thankful, expressing thankfulness, releasing thankfulness into the atmosphere, you will be an agent of change. The atmosphere will change. It'll change everything, the outcome of the day. It will. It just will. So let's glorify God as God and not allow thankfulness to be dampened or stolen or removed. Hold on to it. It is more valuable than what you understand. Let's pray. Father, help us, God, whatever area of our lives we have allowed thankfulness to wane or to ebb, to become dampened, for its luster to become tarnished. Invade us, God, our thoughts, our emotions, our being. Cause us not just to recognize and worship you as God, but our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our will to be firmly set and anchored as ones who are thankful. Jesus' name.